As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Put away the rag. Put away the polish. You can't polish this one up last night. There's just no way. There's no way to turd polish what happened last night out at Petco Park with Dylan Cease again. This team is getting very predictable, and we are sliding into that part of Padres baseball where they're boring to watch. They're just a boring team, and we've been there before, and I do not like boring teams. You can lose 6-5 and make it exciting and show some fight and some grit, but last night was not that night at all. We'll talk about that game, and I hated it. I hated most of that game last night, about 8 innings of it, 7 innings. Everybody's got their opinions on it this morning, but we'll get right into it. We need to loosen up first a little bit, I think. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning, everybody. The city on edge right now?
A little bit? I think so. I feel it. I definitely feel a little edgy, you know?
Padres don't win every other day
it's
as well.
It's literally every other day.
The entire month of July, win, lose.
Yeah, I had it in my notes today. Yeah. Since the Philadelphia doubleheader, they won that first game, and they lost.
The entire month of July.
Yeah. And it's just, snip, snap. So, it will tell you that they will beat Eduardo Rodriguez today in the Arizona Diamondbacks and split that series, which is, hey, listen, at this point, I would kill for a split.
It's not what I wanted, but I'll take it now.
100%. It's weird how we will make those adjustments in what we want, especially in the course of a baseball season. So, yeah, man, we all watched that game last night. We were texting about it throughout, and it was just boring. It was just a boring, boring squad.
I've got an example of the city on edge from yesterday, actually. So, yeah, I went down to do a story for Channel 10 on the Junior World Golf Tournament. Drove down to Singing Hills. A lot of Tier 1s down there, by the way. Shout out to Dylan in the cart barn. Took a picture with him.
Nice.
Talked to a couple of the marshals. Was really profiling one of the parents. I thought it was fascinating. These are like 8 and 9 year olds that are out. They're really good, Woods. Like, there was a 9 year old from Thailand, girl, shot 9 under yesterday. This is like, I'm watching them on the range. They all hit the ball. I mean, you know, they're 8, so they only hit, but they still hit like 170 yards right down the middle. Arrow straight every single time.
Little turds.
So
I couldn't do it.
The swing is perfect.
I can't stand
this. I'm like jealous of like a 9-year-old girl's golf swing. It is so perfect. And I talked to her dad, and, you know, they're down from Orange County, and they're a nice guy, and I was worried that, you know, are they putting too much pressure on these kids? But she's like, no, just go out there, have fun. We don't care what the score is. Hey, maybe someday she'll get a college scholarship, but we're not going to put any pressure on her. She likes doing it. So it was fun. So I did the story. I'm driving back. There's this gnarly fire that breaks out. I am right by it. I don't know if you saw some of the coverage. Hamul fire.
No, I missed this.
I saw the alert.
So yeah. I jump out with my camera, get some video of it, you know, of the flames lapping up on the hills, trying to do my part for, you know, the television station, because I know they're going to have big breaking news.
Yeah, you're right there.
But they said, all right, come on back, though. We need you to get your story done. So I hit the 94 freeway, and it is a dead stop. I look at my Google Maps, and they go, accident up ahead. Get off the freeway.
Fire and accident.
Fire and accident. It's a deadly combination, obviously.
Get out of there.
So the freeway's not moving. My app says, just get off, take the side streets. You'll be back in 20 minutes if you do that. So I'm trying to merge over to the right, as is pretty much everybody else, to get off at College Grove. And it's inching along. I mean, like, everyone's going like 2 miles an hour. You're barely moving at all. So got my blinker on for like 3 minutes and I'm not getting over. So I just keep kind of inching forward and trying to inch over. And there's this white van, and she kind of cuts me off, and I say, oh, fine, I'll just get the next one. But there's nowhere to go, so I just keep inching forward, and I get ahead of her again. I'm like, I start inching over again, and she zooms up and cuts me off again.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
And then I'm still just kind of sitting there, not moving, but I'm already kind of halfway into her lane, and I inch forward again, and she's still there, and she once again zooms forward and cuts me off, and she rolls down her window, and we're very close, like our side view mirrors are almost touching at this point, and she's yelling at me like, get in your lane, get in your lane, and I'm like, I'm trying to merge, someone has to let me in, I've got to get off just like everybody else, and I'm pointing at her and she's pointing at me and screaming at me, and I'm going, what do you want me to do? There's no other place to go. There's 10 other cars in front of me who have just merged, everyone else let them in. I'm the only one. I just have to sit here and know. I just didn't understand. And I don't.
Just quick time. Listen to this man.
I don't know what he's going
worked
on.
Up, man.
It's the most excited I've seen you in a long time.
You feel alive a little bit, right? Yeah. So did she let you over?
No. So she zoomed forward again. I waited like until five more cars passed, and there was like a bus, and I just kind of inched in front of the bus to get off the freeway.
My buddy taught me this driving in Chicago. I never had a car in Chicago, and I've never forgotten this. My buddy, Bobby, who was, you would say he's a good driver, but every time you jumped in his car, you're like, we're dead. I'm going to die. He drove an BMW M3, which was really fast, really fast. And this, I go, God, stop, 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 what are you doing? He's like, just put your nose out there, dude. Nobody wants to get in an accident. And I go, oh, yeah, you're right. So stick your nose in there. Like, no one wants to get in a wreck. And
I know, that's what I was trying to get in a wreck. But she seemed like she was more than happy to get into a wreck as long as I didn't get into the right lane so I could get off. She was willing to absolutely clip my car to make sure that I did not get in front of her and cost her 4 seconds in her day.
Man, this is a good time. Adio in the chat said, man, this is a time I wish there was a hidden microphone in Ben's car. To get that audio on tape would have been...
Well, there wasn't a lot of audio because I left my window closed. I was just mouthing words. I was just yelling like,
F you!
Without any noise. I was yelling,
get trying to get off.
Did she give you the finger? Saying anything. She gave me the back of the hand, kind of the Italian, like,
hey! So, Bobby Bacala, that's unbelievable. I can't believe you. Are you okay?
Is it possible?
Your hair's all jacked up.
Frazzled.
He's shook. He is shook.
Is it possible that I was also a little irritated by what happened earlier in the day here at Odyssey San Diego?
Which, strap in, everybody.
And I was stunned, Paulie, because we got the news first. And when I saw it, I thought,
oh no,
Woods is going to have a brain aneurysm when he hears this. I mean, it's just, he's going to be gone. It's just going to pop, boom, and he's gone. Just going to drop dead right
on the
floor.
Vacation early.
Vacation early, I'd be dead.
It's just going to be dead.
So the permanent vacation. Yeah.
Because I knew he hadn't seen it yet because he hadn't responded to the text that we got from Adam after the show and after we stuck around.
The text from me.
Yeah, it was
Paulie. Oh, you had the text. Yeah. All right.
But Paulie was the final say.
Yeah, I saw it first, and I know you hadn't seen it yet because, as we told you yesterday, we stuck around to record episode 2 of Off the Air, our new podcast. Odyssey podcast featuring Ben and Woods and Paul. And it went really, really well. It was good show.
It was really good.
It's best one we've done.
Best one we've done. Well, we've done two.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Paulie. And Adam had been in the back room. You know,
in the, what they call the control room.
The control room.
So, meaning he would have control.
Anybody in the control room has the control.
Yeah. And the producer of Off the Air, as it were.
And when Paulie, after we were done, went to get the video of our whole episode, he said, yep, the video looks good. There's no audio. It's not there.
What do we do?
The lips are moving.
What do we do a living? We are an audio delivery company. We deliver audio.
Mm-hmm.
Oogie wants to know, did Ben say a curse word on the podcast?
We had a whole segment of Ben cursing.
Yeah.
You're never going to hear it.
You'll never know because there was no
audio.
Maybe we just we put out the video, and I'll just put like some elevator music for 45 minutes, and you guys can all watch it and determine with your own lip reading skills what we're talking about.
Elise has a good idea. We'll send it to John Boy. He can just do an entire lip reading episode.
It was 52 minutes. It would take
him. That was before cuts. It was probably a 40-45 minute total.
So it would be. It would take him a couple of years to get it done.
Yeah.
So I did get the text, and I did write back. My initial reaction was, "Are you effing kidding? No, you're effing joking." And then I got to the gym. I worked out really hard. And then I was, I just was over it at that point. I just went, all right. So I called Paulie and I go, so really it's done. And he goes, yeah, we don't, it doesn't exist. I can't get it. I said, okay. I said, well, c'est la vie. That's life. You know, I just said, okay.
Who are you?
I'll tell you who I am. I'm a guy that has done a billion podcasts, and I'm a guy that's lost audio. I've recorded podcasts that never, you know, nobody clicked record. It's happened to me a dozen times in my life. Now, I've never been the producer of one. It was never technically my fault that it didn't, you know, catch or whatever, but it's happened to me before. The thing that is hardest for me, and it's not a shot at Adam at all. It's really not. But the, well, you know, you guys want to try again. Sure, absolutely. We do want to do this project. We're committed to the project. But the problem is now you can't recreate what we had, so I don't want to try. I exposed something on there that probably would have started some S with someone, and you give me 5 days to think about it, it's not happening now. It's just not. And it was really good, and it was really juicy. And I was like, oh, it's not happening now. So for me, Adam called me. He personally apologized. And the thing is like, this is what my only, like, beef or whatever, just edict on the whole thing is this. There is not some storage facility full of content that I can go to, open the door, grab a box, and be like, all right, let's go through this and see what we got. We did a four-hour show trying to deliver good, fun, creative, entertaining content. Then we went right in there. We did that hour-long entertainment. Today, we'll try to deliver a four-hour entertaining show. Then we'll go in and do an hour roundtable after. Tomorrow, we will deliver a four-hour radio show trying to be original and with fresh, original content. The well runs dry sometimes, and you can't just let me just pull up the well and grab another ladle of creative water.
Oh, you need
water.
Another hour of content? Let me just grab that.
And so, yeah, man, if again, I've said it a billion times, this job is very difficult if you care about what the quality of your show sounds like. If you don't care, it's really a simple job. You can come in, read the newspaper, take phone calls, do whatever you want to do. It's a difficult job when you care about the content and you want it to be engaging and funny and compelling. So I don't have anything. We're going to retry it again on Tuesday. You're going out of town, Benny. And so, man, like when he called me, I go, it's okay. I go, it happens. You know, I mean, because really it does happen, number one. It has happened to me before. Mm-hmm. And what am I going to do about it? Scream about audio that can't be recovered? There's nothing. It's gone. It's into the ether. So now I just got to get back to the drawing board, which is the drawing.
We got a good 45 minutes of practice.
Yeah.
But we can't do the same thing. You were absolutely right. And I feel bad. I honestly feel bad for the tier ones. We'll come up with a good episode. You will be entertained. But we can't recreate what was already created. Woods was,
it was like
emotional. I mean, I saw the tears like were welling up in your eyes as you were telling your story just a little bit.
I thought you were emotional.
I saw it.
I don't even remember getting super emotional.
Yeah. It was powerful, and I hate throwing out a tease that we can't really pay off because we can't just tell the story now. It was specifically for that show.
It was so off the cuff that we legitimately had no idea where Woods was going when he started telling us the story.
You guys were shocked.
And I'm like, I cannot wait to hear this. And I thought it was like pretty powerful and really like got a little deep at points. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, there's just no possible way. We're not good actors.
No.
Like, you cannot recreate that authenticity.
Yeah, Dub J, you nailed it. And Ben said it, my wife said it as well. Maybe it just wasn't meant to be. It's a bummer, but again, it was not meant to be aired. Maybe it saved me some headache. You know, no, not
it's
maybe.
Possible.
It definitely
it is
did.
Possible.
It definitely did. So, yeah, man. I you know, and again, Adam, I guess Adam called Pauly too and was like, Woods was shockingly calm. And I was. When he called, I went, oh, no. And he's like, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm really, really sorry. And I go, hey, man, it is what it is. What are you going to do about it?
I told Adam, I was like, look, we're not mad at you. We're mad at the situation like you are, I'm sure. But we don't think like you and the engineers were sabotaging us.
I don't think anybody was working against us. Like, hey, watch
this. I was literally in the production studio before we started.
The audio was there.
There was there. It just didn't get sent over the feed
to StreamYard or whatever it is.
I don't, yeah.
Now it would be different. And have you ever done this where you were just afraid to tell someone? Like, they let us go the whole time knowing there was no audio, but they were just too scared to come in and stop us. That wasn't the case.
He wouldn't do that, number one, because they did come in 10 minutes in and say, Woodsy, your mic's cutting in and out. Let's get you a new mic.
And so we started over.
We did have to kind of reset and start the beginning over again and pick it up from where we left off and going to edit it later. So I don't think he would have been scared. Why would you? I mean, that would be mean to let us get all that good stuff out there and then not do it. So it was a bummer, certainly.
And I get it. Michelle says, but now we're so curious.
I know.
And we feel bad about that, honestly, but we want to be as open and as honest as we can.
Well, I'm bummed too, because I like this project. I like the idea of it. The setup looks amazing. I feel juiced up when I walk in there. It was really good. And so we do get to cut loose on there and say bad words and you know, have fun and talk about other things. And I am jazzed up about the idea, but we got to make sure that doesn't happen again. It just can't happen again. Once is fine. It's a mistake. Mistakes happen. But like next time after.
It's a new show.
Especially after like a 4-hour show, you will go in there like, all right, let me reset this thing and let's try to crush this. And we did. We crushed it. And it's like to lose it is just such a drag.
So I will say that we took a bit of a deep dive as well into why I don't curse.
We did. We did.
And we can't obviously play any of that audio. We don't have it, nor can we recreate it on the air because, well, we can't curse on the radio on this format. But ultimately, it came down to me deciding I'm a rule follower. Mm-hmm. And for some reason in my mind, cursing feels like breaking a rule.
Yeah.
And I don't like to break rules. I like to follow rules.
Well, it's definitely breaking a rule here. You can't just drop C words and things like that on the radio, which you could, but you can't. So Ben actually asked the question. Well, now I'm turning 50. Should I loosen up a little bit? Because he let it fly in Philly after a few hundred drinks. he really let it eat.
Sort of remember. He kind of letting it fly.
He let it eat, and it was jarring.
Shocking. To
it was jarring, and I said, actually, please don't. Just once you try to be somebody you're not is when you get in trouble. That's always been my case. If I try to be somebody I'm not. It doesn't work. I can't be Ben. I'm not going to be Ben. I'm going to be me. Once I figure that out, I've been successful. And I cannot be anybody but
myself.
I'm
glad you're you.
Well, I have to be. I have to be.
I hope you're glad that I'm me.
Very much. And that's why I told you. No, I don't want to hear you walking in being like, mother effer. I'll be like, it would pierce my brain. So, yeah, that happened yesterday. Maybe it's a sign of growth that I'm growing. But I was disappointed. I was disappointed for sure. And it was a good one. Sorry, guys.
It's really, disappointing. Really sorry. You know, it's just, it's only natural when you're like, that's an hour of my life that I just won't get back. And it was for literally nothing.
Literally a complete and utter and total waste of time.
If I would have driven home after the show and stared at the ceiling, it would have been more just as productive.
Set your home, brain, relaxed. Yeah, 100%, Pauly. It was more so. But yeah, it sucks, dude. It's happened to me before. I've dropped a banger podcast with one of my many podcast partners. Get the call later. Dude, audio didn't work. I'm like, oh my God. And I always have that feeling of like, well, actually, maybe it's for the best. Maybe there's a reason that didn't go out.
I did. This was a long time ago now. I did a podcast at the old radio station, and I was recording over the phone with our beloved Bernie Wilson.
Oh, I love Bern.
And it was a very sensitive – I don't remember how it even came up, but we ended up talking for 30 minutes about him covering for the AP a school shooting back in the day in East County, Santana, I think.
Yeah.
And look, very, very disturbing content for sure. But to hear from his journalistic perspective on what it was like to cover that, it was unbelievable. And about 20 minutes in, the power in the building went out.
Mighty 1090.
Yeah. Not permanently, just a blip.
Sure.
It went out. The whole building is dark. I'm in a dark ass recording studio with no lights, nothing. Yeah. And the audio was completely gone. I'm like, well, Burn. I text him, I'm like, you're never going to believe this. You can't recreate that.
You got to pay your bills.
It's over. You got to pay the electricity bills.
As you well know, I mean, Paulie says it was just a blip.
Yeah.
Blame SDG&E.
This was still a couple of years from the final plug.
Exactly.
Pulling.
That's what the rug.
If we give you half of what we owe you SDG&E, can you turn the power back on, please?
Honestly, that should have been a $60
deposit right now.
That should have been a sign.
It absolutely should have been a sign, and probably was shut off because somebody was stuffing their pockets and not paying their bills. It's exactly what happened.
All right. You ready to get started
today? Yeah, let's get it.
All right. Let's see what Kelly's got traffic-wise. Hopefully it was better than what I was stuck in.
Yeah, let's talk some Padres baseball.
Yeah, let's feel better and talk some Padres baseball.
I will set the menu on the other side of traffic, and then we will get into it this morning here on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here's what we got coming up for you. Obviously, we will get into our Padres crap up. Another Dylan Cease performance that goes off the rails. It is it's inexplicable, but completely predictable.
Yeah.
At this point,
isn't
what we're going to see from him every single time.
Yeah, even Schulte said after the game last night, it's a head scratcher.
It really is,
and it is.
Same thing with Dylan. We'll have some audio for you as well as the Padres drop an 8-2 decision. Oof. To the Arizona Diamondbacks last night at Petco Park. We will also hear from our friend in-season Sam Levitt, with his regular Thursday appearance at 7:35. Second half of the show should be fun, though. Eno is on vacation, but we've got our friend Dylan from Letters to AJ is going to join us at 9 o'clock to talk some Spartan baseball. And because it's a throwback Thursday, we'll play some real or fake with a chance to finally qualify someone for our trip to Las Vegas, our getaway in our 8:20 segment. And then Paulie is going to take us back, I think, to a moment that we all immensely enjoyed just a year ago on our Throwback Thursday clip in our final hour of the program today. Looking forward to that as well.
Nice.
So that's what we've got on the menu for you today. First up, though, the highlights. Jesse and Tony of last night's game. People are saying trade Dylan Cease in our chat. And, I don't think it's going to happen, but you have to talk about it at this point.
Yeah, listen.
As we get toward the trading deadline, we will discuss it all coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, listen, when Adam maybe lets me down and doesn't have the audio I need, or the Padres let me down, at least I have, look at me, right here, EcoWater. You hear this? They just sent me this beautiful, beautiful EcoWater SoCal Yeti water bottle, and it's so good. It's half the size of my other giant jug, but it's perfect for what I need. And it's filled, of course, every day with the best water that you can drink, EcoWater. We got the EcoWater system in our home. They've been keeping it soft. That's soft water, I should clarify, since 1925. When they patented the first self-regenerating water softener, they're still leading the way today. It is the best water you can drink. Better water for you with a reverse osmosis system. It's bottled quality water straight from your tap. If you want an upgrade, EcoWater's alkaline filters will take hydration to the next level. That's what we've got in our house. It's phenomenal. Clean water deserves clean air as well. EcoWater SoCal has state-of-the-art air purification. Removes 99.99% of pollutants. And we've got pure water, fresh air, and a happy family. All thanks to EcoWater SoCal. Get a free in-home water test today and try the Soft Life and alkaline water now, just $9.95 a month. Call 760-350-3338 or visit EcoWater SoCal. Let them know Woodsy sent you. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water. Keeping it soft since 1925, EcoWater, your water should be perfect.
Tell you what stung maybe the most about last night's game. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, Paul. It's Thursday morning here on 97.3 The Fan. You knew already that the Giants and Dodgers had lost.
Sucks, dude.
Before you even took the field last night.
I hate when that happens, man. I hate it.
And you were kind of, you know, salivating at the possibility of picking up a game on both of them, going back into the third spot in the wild card, starting to get within reaching distance of the LA Dodgers, who are struggling badly. Have been swept twice in a row. Their first six-game losing streak, I heard, since like 2019. Not that it's going to continue forever, but hey, make some hay while they're struggling. You've only made up three games over the six that they've lost. Had you gone on a little streak right now, you could be breathing down their necks at the moment.
Yeah, legitimately.
But you didn't. You continued to alternate wins and losses. So, and I knew it was certainly a possibility that the Padres weren't going to get it done, but when I saw that the Phillies bodied the Giants 13-0, and the Brewers walked it off in the 10th inning on Jackson Churio's single after they had tied it in the bottom of the 9th. Even though I told you I was kind of cheering for the Dodgers, I'm more worried about the Brewers this week. I was excited about the possibility of picking up another game on LA, but you've really wasted this golden opportunity. Now you're still six games back. At some point, the Dodgers are going to go on another, probably as soon as, you know, today or tomorrow, they're going to go on another run, and it's going to be really hard to catch up ground on that team. And they gave you a chance to do it this last week.
Well, and you know who the Dodgers play now? San Francisco.
Well, you gain on one of them, but gain you won't on one gain of them. On the other.
Correct. So,
or you lose on one of them each night because the Padres are playing the Phillies after they wrap up with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, since that Philly game, we talked about it in the open, since that Philly doubleheader game, they have gone win-loss, 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 win-loss. I mean, it's just, whoo, and I mean, I know he hates the term roller coaster, but that is the definition of a roller coaster.
Hey, boy, watch your mouth.
Ain't no roller coaster. It's not a carousel. You know, it's a roller coaster. You go up, you go down. You go up, you go down. You're in, you're
it's
out.
It's more like a tilt-a-whirl.
Whatever you want to call it, Chilty, I don't care. They're a consistently inconsistent baseball team.
When the Padres started this 10-game homestand to lead into the All-Star break, my hope, and we were on vacation last week when they started, but my hope was 7-3. That would get them to 10 games above 500 at the break. I would feel really good about where they were at that point. Now, is it still possible? Yes. They would have to win their final four games tonight and then sweep the Philadelphia Phillies. I don't see a team that's currently playing at a level in which I expect a four-game winning streak. But that's the best-case scenario kind of still out there for me. The other scenarios, I mean, if they win three out of the next four, then they'd be eight games above 500. Solid. You'd have a 6-4 homestand. Not great, but good enough.
Pretty good.
You know, that's okay. Yeah. They could split the next four. That would leave them at six games above 500, still well above where they were at the All-Star break last year, which was 50-49, and right there in the thick of things. Then you go into the other possibilities. If they drop three of the next four, they'll fall to three games above 500. And if they lose all four, they'll be right where they were going into the All-Star break last year, at one game above 500.
Yeah.
There's still a very wide range of potential outcomes of the first half of the season for the San Diego Padres based on these next 4 days. These next 4 days,
they're huge.
I think are really, really big. And right now, the Padres are not finding ways to score enough runs to win consistently.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's one of those games where you're like, because I did see people making the case of like, well, honestly, what does it matter? What does it matter what Dylan Cease did last night? What does it matter? This team doesn't score. They don't score at all. Had an opportunity in the first inning. Leadoff double. You're like, here we go. Let's get Brandon Pfaadt, who has an opponent's batting average of .588 or something in the first inning. You're like, Toddy, here we go. Double. Arise, terrible AB. Didn't even get him over. Manny, terrible AB. Didn't get him in. And Cheats popped out or whatever. There it is. It's over. Okay. Back to the drawing board.
0-3 with runners in scoring position in the first inning. By the way, Padres now 0-4 this week with runners in scoring position. Didn't get a hit on Monday. Didn't even get a chance on Tuesday in the 1-0 win, and went 0-4, 5 again last night with runners in scoring position. Not a single hit this week with a runner in scoring position.
And 16 for 97 over their last 14 games. That is a staggering, staggering number. You're not going to win a lot of baseball games that way. The other thing, too, and somebody brought it up in the chat, I truly don't understand why these pitchers come in to Petco Park that haven't had a quality start all season, such as Brandon Pfaadt. Not one. First time he ever has gone into the eighth inning in his career, and he is dicing up Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, Jackson Merrill, Xander Bogaerts, Luis Arraez, Gavin Sheets, Jake Cronenworth, Elias Diaz, I'll give you that. But, like, these guys come into Petco. Why are we the get-right stop? Why is Petco Park the get-right stop? Oh, also, how about how many home runs they hit last night? Four?
Four.
They had four home runs.
But they're a home run hitting team, but...
But at Petco Park, we've been out-homered by our opponents at our home ballpark this year.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's not good. So, again, I don't really fall in the, it doesn't really matter what Dylan Cease does, because it does. An ace goes out. Nick Pivetta goes out and hangs zeros. Dylan Cease didn't do that. He did not hang any zeros for the most part. Young one in the first, I think, first, second. And then it starts, you know, solo shot, fine. Solo shot, fine. Walk, walk, hit, grand slam. You're like, that's it, dude. What am I watching for?
I had people texting me, though, before the inning with the fifth with the grand slam. Yeah. Like, even after two solos, you're like, this guy, he can't do anything right. I'm like, I mean, two solo shots shouldn't kill you.
Shouldn't
like,
kill
that's
you.
Not the end of the world. And then, obviously, what happened in the fifth, you're like, all right, now.
Just the total meltdown.
Now
man.
This one's out of reach.
Just the total meltdown.
We'll get into the game in a little more detail coming up here with our Padres crap up. All the highlights, we'll break it down for you right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Man.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
Oh, a shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up,
presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, with gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Dan McCann hits it in the air to deep left field. Johnson goes back. He will watch. It will go. Second deck in left for James McCann. His second home run is an Arizona Diamondback, and the Snakes go ahead 1-0 here in the third inning. Suarez with two outs, nobody on, launches one in the air to deep left field. Johnson is back. He is at the wall. He will leap, and it's going to go just over the fence and out of the reach of the left fielder Johnson. Suarez came into today tied for the second most home runs in the National League. He adds another, his 29th of the season, and the Diamondbacks lead it 2-0. A one pitch hit in the air deep down the right field line towards the Petco porch and gone, a grand slam. Geraldo Perdomo with his 10th home run of the season. It will make it a 6-0 game here in the fifth inning. Johnson swings, grounds it to first base, backhanded by Suarez. He'll flip to Pfaadt in time as Xander crosses the plate. Second out of the inning, an RBI ground out for Bryce Johnson. Padres are on the board. It's 6-1. And that is launched in the air to deep right field. Carroll went back, but all he can do is watch, and deep into the lower deck for Gavin Sheets. Long home run, his 14th of the season. He has now driven in 50 runs this year. And the Padres get one back. It's 6-2. And Carroll hits it in the air to deep right field. Fernando racing straight back. He's at the wall. This one going to go up over the old fence in right field. And Corbin Carroll erases his browser history. Four strikeouts earlier, and now a home run in the ninth inning. Diamondbacks lead it 8-2. 3-1 is a looper into right field. Carroll charging in. He'll slide forward and make the catch to end the game. A 1-2-3 ninth for Kevin Ginkle, and the Diamondbacks slug their way to an 8-2 victory here in Game 3 of this series.
It is a bit of a head-scratcher. You know, we're in the business to find solutions and find answers and get results.
you know, this game is challenging sometimes because you do things that you look out and you look and you see a guy that me and Ruben, even before the game, were looking at the numbers we talked about prior to first pitch strikes, you know, chase, all the good metrics that are in Dylan's favor. And you go out and watch the game tonight and you're like, whoa, here we go. And I made the mental mistake of sitting there in the third inning going, gosh, man, this guy's it. I can't remember exactly the number of pitches. It was in third inning. And I'm like, he could throw a no-hitter tonight. And then McCann hit to homer. So I'll take the hitter for that one.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I thought this – he came out and threw seven heaters to start the game, and the guys were so far behind on every single pitch. I go, oh, he's got it tonight. He's absolutely locked
in. This is what we need.
And you never know, man, how it plays out. You know, you really come out, you pitch your ass off in the first, right? Seven straight fastballs, nobody can touch you, and you walk back to the dugout, and you're on cloud nine. Then your leadoff hitter rips a double down the line. This is our night.
I thought so, too.
And then just, you know, just gone, just like that. And that momentum change, we don't capitalize on it seemingly ever.
If there was
a great play or something, and yeah, and just usually other teams are like, yeah, let's rally around it.
You mentioned just going quickly down 1-2-3 after the Tatis double in the bottom of the first. But if there was a moment where the momentum changed, it was when Luis Arraez swung at a pitch that was going to hit him.
And then
did hit him after he fouled it right back into his leg. And then he hobbles around for 2 minutes. And then Weakley flies out.
Yeah.
So you don't even advance the runner to third.
Yep.
And now you feel like the pressure is on, you know, Manny doesn't get him in, Sheets doesn't get him in. And now that you've given the Diamondbacks and Brandon Pfaadt some confidence to throw strikes going forward. He's a strike thrower. You're not surprised that Brandon Pfaadt is throwing strikes. So the Padres have to swing pitches in the zone. He's not going to walk a lot of guys. He never does. But the problem with the Padres' offense has been the same all season long. They put balls in play. Dylan Cease struck out twice as many guys as Brandon Pfaadt last night. The Padres put the balls in play. Nothing good happens
doesn't
when they
anywhere.
Put the ball in play.
Yeah, it's wild.
They find gloves. They just find gloves all the time. And, you know, Arizona, they have a good defensive outfield, but running around, making catches.
Yep.
Alec Thomas out in center field is making great catches. Corbin Carroll is making great catches.
Gurriel
is making catches. They put the ball in play. So, okay, hit the ball on the ground. That doesn't work either. They put the ball in play. When it's on the ground, it's a ground out. When it's in the air, it's a fly out.
Yeah, Zach.
When it's a line drive, it's a line out.
Yeah, Zach says in the chat, I'm not excusing the limp offense. Limp is such a great word. They are flaccid and limp right now. I'm saying it's weird pitchers having bad seasons, coming in on bad stretches. We are the get-right team. And that does not compute in my head. Especially, you know, like you just talked about, a contact team. It's hard to get right against a team that puts a ball in play. It really is. I mean,
I wouldn't want to face the Padres because I know I'm not. They're going to be hitting the ball.
Hit the ball everywhere.
You know?
But they always
hit it at people.
It's confounding, man. It's confounding. And I know everyone's looking for answers. I have no idea. I have no idea other than I watched Jackson Merrill's ABs last night. I mean, you can see it in his face. You can see it in his hands. The dude is squeezing the sawdust out of that bat, wanting to do something. I know these guys care. I will never buy into these guys have given up. They don't care. Look, they're not on a 7-game losing streak. They've won one, lost one, won one, lost one, won one, lost one, right? So they cared enough. Do they care enough to win every other night? If the answer is yes, that tells me that they care. No question about it. I know how hard that they're working. I know how hard that they're trying. The results aren't there, and I don't even think I think there's a little bit of bad luck in there, Benny, but I can't come in here and couch it all as just bad luck for the San Diego Padres right now.
One thing the Padres must do, and it won't fix their offense because they're more than just one player away from fixing their offense, but they have to make a change at catcher. Elias Diaz has not gotten a hit since June 27th. Martin Maldonado had the one game where he had the two hits, but other than that, you know, he hadn't had a hit before June 24th.
Easy outs.
Yeah, they're not even letting them take at-bats now. Martin Maldonado got one at-bat, was pinch hit for by Trenton Brooks.
I could not
believe
it.
Elias Diaz got one at-bat. There is no confidence. Even Mike Schilt, who will tell you with his words how much he believes in his players. And
a fifth inning pull?
How important what his catchers are doing, handling the pitching staff. His actions show you that he has no faith offensively in either of his catchers anymore.
Like, that tells me we're going to suffer through one of your at-bats. You're going to give us 2 to 3 more innings of defense. And next time around,
you're out.
We have to make a change. It's that bad.
Well, I mean, how desperate are you when you're going to Trenton Brooks, you know, in the fifth inning to try to get something going? But, yeah, man, Liz, it's
Trenton Brooks ain't the answer either.
No, he's not. I mean, we got about four or five guys in the lineup that aren't the answer right now.
Yeah.
So the pitchers, and I know this is perhaps something that Mike Chilt would push back on a lot, because I know catchers are important. These Padres pitchers know what they're doing. If you brought up Luis Camposano and Brandon Valenzuela, they wouldn't simply fall off a map. The ERA wouldn't jump by 4 with the entire pitching staff throwing to other guys.
I mean, look, I give some of these guys have worked well in tandem. Maldonado and Cease clearly isn't it.
No.
It clearly, after 19 starts, a 3-9 record with a 4.88 ERA. All right, that combo is not maybe as elite as you think it is. Your comfort level doesn't matter at this point. You know, Yu Darvish was able to adapt after Victor Caratini left. He was able to adapt. That was his personal catcher in Chicago, his personal catcher here. Brought him along for the ride. And actually, Victor Caratini, I think, having a pretty decent year. I think he's in Houston now. Is that right? But, like, they'll be fine. They'll adapt. You could bring in somebody, and it's up to them to figure out how to do it. But, yeah, man, it's there's some guys in that lineup that are not giving you quality MLB-level at-bats. You know, and it's unfortunate. You know, it's unfortunate. So, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, other than, you know, hoping and praying that the top of the order gets it going and that the bottom of the order can contribute. I mean, it's not any brilliant insight right now, but really kind of out of that game early. You know, it's a really tough stretch when you look up and you're down 6-0. It's just, all right, well, we're kind of screwed tonight.
As for Dylan Cease, it is stunning. It is inexplicable, head-scratcher, as Mike Schilt called it,
yep.
Because the stuff is there. Even the metrics behind the metrics look pretty good.
I just looked at his Statcast this morning. I mean, it like, he throws one of the best fastballs in the league, throws one of the best sliders in the league. Can't get guys out consistently. The walks are way too many and absolutely killed him last night. Walks are always untimely, unless it's I'm pitching around the one good hitter on this team to get to the guy behind him to roll into a double play. Benny, he loses the plot, man. It just like you look up and you're like, oh, okay, this is it. I know it's coming. It's so predictable with Dylan Cease, and it's unfortunate because the stuff is good. And he said after the game, I feel like I need to just kind of weather the storm, keep moving forward. I like the work I put in. I feel like I'm really close. There's a lot of things that are positive. I just haven't put it all together yet. Yeah, I mean, it makes me actually the buddy last night, and I thought, you know, people are saying trade Dylan Cease. You never want to trade somebody when their value is at its lowest. But Dylan Cease is not coming back here next year. I'd be really surprised if he's in a Padres uniform after this season. Like, extremely surprised. That being said, they said, well, and you said it yesterday, Paul. You made the point of, we need people to eat those innings. I don't know that we have them right now. Michael King's ramping up. Yu Darvish had one start.
Whether Dylan Cease, it's good innings or bad innings,
they're still
you
innings.
Need innings.
You do.
You cannot, if you have any hope of getting to the playoffs, you can't ride this bullpen.
And you, but if you keep Dylan Cease, roll him out there every fifth day, okay, you get that comp pick. When he leaves and signs in free agency with somebody else, you do get that comp pick. Could you get more in a trade for Dylan Cease in the next 3 weeks? It's worth more than that comp pick. Don't know. Will whoever you get back help your major league team immediately? And, you know, you may find a team that's, I mean, there is a team. There's a team in Boston that has 7 outfielders, and they're like, oh, let's get him some work at second and first. I mean, they're moving guys all over the diamond there, and they're starting to play really well, but there's not enough room for all the guys they have. Is there an opportunity somewhere where you say, we give you a starting pitcher that you think you can use these really good metrics, make one tweak, and he's rolling for you guys. We take your left fielder, we plug and play him, figure it out. Potentially it's out there, the major leaguer for major leaguer. I don't want to trade him for a bag of prospects right now, though. That signifies a little bit of a punt to me. And your other option, again, keeping him, rolling him out there, hoping he figures it out, and getting the comp pick when he leaves in free agency.
Yeah, it's not like selling off because you're giving up on
you're
the
punting.
Season.
Right.
I would consider listening to Dylan Cease, as you said, if you feel like you can address other areas on your roster. It only works if Michael King comes back, which has always been the case anyway. But if you have King and Darvish, you know, maybe you get by without a 3-9 Dylan Cease the rest of the season. Now, here's the dilemma. If Dylan Cease comes out of the All-Star break and throws like two really good starts, then what do you do? Do you keep him?
Well,
do
you trade? I mean, you keep him, obviously.
See, that's the thing.
If he gets the breather.
Yeah, but you just said you don't want to trade a guy when his value is low. That would increase his value immediately. Two really good starts would increase his value. You might get a lot more for him, but then
might
you're
get
thinking,
a lot more. Yeah, it depends on what you get back.
You might get a lot more.
I don't know. It's really confounding. It is a head scratcher.
One thing
are you in the business of trading Cease for prospects? Period. I'm not. If the right deal came along, you need to help the major league team.
Ooh, that's interesting. David, who knows more about this than David Jay, knows more about this than we do, says because the Padres are so far over the luxury tax, they only get a fourth round comp pick, not a second. So maybe trading is more of a possibility because you can get more than the compensatory pick.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And maybe that's in the cards. And, you know, again, as much as we...
Is there a move out there that you think it still improves your chances in 2025? Getting rid of a starting pitcher?
That's what you have to figure out, is what you can get back, you know, body for body, positional need for positional need. Because I'll tell you, man, as bad as he is, 3-9 with a 4.88, somebody wants him. Somebody wants him.
Well,
somebody feels like he can put him over the top.
Statcast page and the movement and the velocity. Yeah, someone will definitely dream on Dylan Cease. Yep. But Padres are also still dreaming on Dylan Cease, turning into Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
You know, the best ticket to potential playoff success is Dylan Cease just turning around for your own team.
Correct. But that's such a dicey strategy. Hopefully it works.
I know who's really to blame for last night's loss. We can get into that coming up. Hour number two. Don't do this. In-season Sammy ahead as well. Don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on a Throwback Thursday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.